Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
It is finally here. We hoped to have it ready by the end of last year, but it was a lot more work than we realised. But now it's good to go. A new website, Woke Up NZ, has just been launched by Family First NZ. And the website documents wokeness in New Zealand-based businesses so that Kiwi consumers can decide for themselves who to do business with and who to avoid, based on the values of the business. And, you know, from what families tell us, most people want to purchase products and services and then get on with their lives. They don't want businesses shoving woke beliefs down their throats as part of their purchase. And consumers also don't want to support businesses who then fund groups that the consumer opposes. For example, funding Inside Out to push radical gender and sexuality messaging in primary schools. Employees also don't want to be told how to think, or that they have to wear LGBT badges or put personal pronouns on their email signatures. Businesses should stick to business, not telling people and their staff what and how to think. We're being regularly contacted by employees concerned about the ramming down of ideologies under the guise of DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion. DEI, it's the new deity in town which all must worship. And they say diversity, equity and inclusion, but if you don't bow down to it, it becomes inequity and exclusion. If you don't believe me, bring up a Bible verse or a view on traditional marriage at the next DEI meeting and see how inclusive DEI really is. Not. But woke capitalism is spreading rapidly through the corporate business world, affecting every category of business. Many corporations, CEOs, and cultural elites are supporting progressive left-wing agendas such as DEI, transgenderism, same-sex marriage, climate alarmism, abortion, anti-Semitism, and critical race theory. And we want consumers to access the information on this website so they can vote with their dollars and do business with companies which don't hate their values. And remember, companies that support woke causes and agendas ultimately pass on the costs to the consumer. Now you may be saying, oh, nobody cares. Well, actually we polled on that issue to see whether people did care. A poll by Courier Market Research last year found that 33%, a third of respondents, wanted businesses to stay neutral on controversial issues. 20% wanted them to take a stand, just 20%, and 45% had no preference either way. But 67%, two-thirds of respondents, said it was somewhat likely or very likely they would boycott a business that took a public stand on a controversial issue they disagreed with. That's actually a serious threat to the customer base of an organisation. And if you want to be reminded of the possible threat, think of Bud Light and think of Target in the US. Now, of course, liberals can also boycott certain businesses. They tried to do it to Chick-fil-A in the US during the gay marriage debate when the owner came out and said he supported traditional marriage. But conservatives did a superb job at holding the line and supporting Chick-fil-A. Your voice and your dollar counts.
Well, what you just listened to was a very, very familiar voice to most listeners on Reality Check Radio. That was Bob McCroskey from Family First talking about their latest initiative, the new website that's just gone up in this last few days, wokeup.nz. And we have with us Bob here joining me and Don this morning on Greenwash. Welcome, Bob.
It is good to be here on your show, finally.
Finally. And it was good to meet you finally. It's been a few months. I met you last October in Tiana when you came down here on a very informative evening about children and schools and gender ideology. And it's funny how that is wrapped up around everything. You look at this website and you have listed on this website businesses that, for lack of a better word, are going woke on us.
Yeah, they're basically pushing in an agenda. It's either around diversity, equity and inclusion, which if you don't agree with diversity, equity and inclusion, then you are excluded, which is kind of ironic. And it's also built around, you know, LGBT and anti-bullying. But if you don't agree with that, then you get bullied, which is kind of ironic. And it's also built around climate alarmism, and the science is settled, apparently, which we know it's not. And so what happens is that you get a lot of people who go into businesses and they really just want to purchase. They don't want to tell them what their political view is or what they believe or how they identify, and they don't want the company or the cafe or the telco or the petrol station or whatever it is telling them how to think or what their politics should be either. They just want to make a purchase. And people are getting sick of being given a side serving of wokeness and being told what they should believe. And so we were contacted by people who were frustrated with that, but we were also contacted by employees who are working in some of these woke companies and are being told to put their personal pronouns on their email signatures and are having to go to all these diversity, equity, and inclusion meetings and being told that being inclusive matters. But of course, as soon as they bring up the fact that they might have a Christian faith or that they believe you're only born male or female or that you think that the climate science isn't settled or that you believe that farmers are actually the good people, then suddenly the diversity and inclusion becomes inequity and exclusion. And really, that's where hate speech laws come from, because if you the blasphemy of unbelief in DEI is that we now require hate speech laws to make everybody conform to it. So we live in interesting times, which is probably why this website has absolutely rocked. The views on wokeup.nz have gone through the roof, and I've made a lot of new enemies based on a few emails I've received, which is always probably a good sign in that it's pushing back on some ground that they think they claimed.
Yeah, if you're not getting complaints, you're not doing your job. Well, we're target here. The website, wokeup.nz. It's fabulous, Bob, and it's a great, I have no doubt this is hours and hours and hours of work. How many people? I mean, do you have a team that's just working on this? This is
Yeah,
not a
we've
small
got
endeavor.
basically, I've had a guy full time on it for the past 6 months, and then I've also had a researcher who's been auditing and checking it all. I think I floated at our conference last July and said that we were going to start working on it, and it was coming. And we thought, I'll probably wait until after the election and then we'll do it. And then we thought, wow, this is a bigger job than we realized. Got into the new year, and we just kept on pushing it out and out because we wanted to make sure it was solid and credible and couldn't be easily debunked. And one of the criticisms of the site is that they sort of want to see the traffic light that we've done to show whether, red is woke, orange is kind of woke, and green is actually it just gets on with doing business and not telling you what to think. And people said, oh, they'd like to see the traffic light a bit sooner. But in some ways, we really want people to delve into the reasons that we've given the red light and the orange light. We want people to understand what is it about the company that is causing the wokeness. It's six of one, half dozen of the other. I'm of two minds of to whether just to give a traffic light and people just say, oh, well, you said red and orange, so I just went with that, or green, as opposed to understand exactly what's going on in these companies. And then you understand what some of the employees are thinking as well, and the frustration they have. And the other thing that I really want to clarify is that often it's a top-down model. So you can get the head office pushing this, but you get branches or local stores who actually don't like it and don't go with it. And I think an example of that is Countdown, which is now Woolworths. We're pushing rounding your change up to a certain amount so that you can give to Inside Out, so that they can indoctrinate our kids on radical sexuality and gender identity. But some Woolworths Countdown stores didn't do that. And I would say they just pushed back. And so, you've got to take it into account. It is a top-down push. And so go and find out what your local store or local cafe or local Z station is doing, who they're supporting.
Yeah. Now, when you look at it, this is indicative of a bigger problem. We've got businesses, or what we thought were businesses, that have moved away from the core of what they should be doing. And they have decided to enter into all facets of life, our science, our bedrooms, our children's classrooms, and everything. And that's what you're essentially trying to do. trying to reveal to people, this is not an invite to go and, you know, start whip up hysteria against these businesses.
No, we've got that in the Q&A, actually. Is this cancel culture? It's not cancel culture. Cancel culture is, well, think of Israel Folau. You basically set out to destroy the person's career and, you know, get them totally off the scene. You just destroy their life. If you can, think of J.K. Rowling, you know, all the examples of the cancel culture. Whereas what we're doing is we're encouraging businesses to think about the lecturing they're giving customers and say, keep your lecturing to yourself. We don't come into your business and tell you what you should think and who we voted for and that, you know, the planet's about to explode in a ball of fire. We don't do that. We just come in to do a purchase and we want businesses to do the same. And a lot of these businesses are supporting groups that the customers may not support. I mean, I don't want any of my money that I spend, some of that going to Inside Out. I don't want a cent going to Inside Out because I can see the destruction and mayhem they're causing to young children in schools. So I want to know who they're supporting. There are some groups that support pro-abortion groups. There are some groups, you know, that are on the Pride, what's it called? The Pride tick or the whatever.
Yeah, no, Rainbow tick. Yeah,
Rainbow tick. And there's also another one, the Pride campaign, there's enough of them. Yeah. And so, or they support Black Lives Matter, or, you know, and a lot of these groups, we explain why we oppose these groups because a lot of them are Marxist based. They're against the traditional family. They go against values that we hold dear. And look, people can decide for themselves. Like I said, some people have contacted me and said, oh, thanks for a list of companies that I should now support because they're woke. Well, you know, good on them. They can do that. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about choice. So we're not calling for cancel culture. We're not saying we want these businesses to go out of business. Not at all. We're just saying to customers, look, just think about who you spend your money with because your money may be being used to support causes that you don't agree with. And, you know, so be it.
How do you counter, Bob, this angle? The shareholders annually will adopt a balance sheet and they'll basically endorse the business plan for the company through the annual report.
Yeah.
So the mandate seems to come, you would suggest, from the shareholders as well because of these companies, because effectively the shareholders have said, yeah, we're okay, we're ticking the annual report off. But the problem we have, so that's one point. The second point is we have this influence of stakeholder capitalism that is different to shareholders' rights, I would suggest. Well, how do you not put some of the blame on the shareholders for letting this through the gate?
Well, let me give you an example of that. It's the same with parents. Unfortunately, for example, over the last 10 years, and this was something that I spoke about at the Inflection Conference a couple of weeks ago that caused the big stir in Wellington. And I talked about the history of basically gender ideology and radical sexuality being indoctrinated in our kids. And I actually showed footage, TV footage, of when it started 11 years ago in schools. And a couple of interviews that I did on Breakfast on TVNZ and on the AM show. And what's happened is that they have pushed this ideology, but they've done it very covertly. And for parents haven't been aware of it. Now, it's really only just come out into the open since we've sort of made it known as to what the content is. And, you know, when parents go to the school and say, oh, what's going on, what's being taught, we've always said if the school's not completely transparent about what's being shown to the children, then that's a red flag. Now, back to what you say, Don, I think the same thing is that shareholders are probably half asleep. They just look at what their dividend is, and they really don't look at the values of the company and find out do they align with their own values. And I think that's the challenge that we're putting out to every one of us is, are you spending your money where you want that money, that with companies that align with your values? And I guess we're saying to parents, are you sending your children to school for, 30 hours per week with a school that aligns with your values, or are they undermining your family? So Yeah, I think we're just getting people to think outside the box. We're not telling people how to think. If parents want to take their children to a drag queen reading in a library, so be it. We just want to educate parents to say, hey, this is the agenda behind it. We really think you should think again. We're not saying, parents, if you want your child to be taught this gender ideology, so be it. We want to present the evidence and the science to say it's false and it's ultimately going to do harm. And I think that's the same with shareholders, isn't it, Don? You basically say, well, I'll invest in your company, but if you're going to take on this particular tackle or enforce these values on your employees, then I'm not going to be a shareholder. I'll take my money elsewhere.
I
So the
think
market
that's,
speaks.
yeah. No, if only the shareholders knew. And as you say, there's a lot of ambivalence and sort of lack of information, well, lack of understanding at a shareholder level. And of course, we have this term stakeholder capitalism that's eating us alive around the fringes. Doesn't matter, all the things you're talking about are involved in that paradigm. So, yeah, hey, good work. I suggest you should go and have a look at some rural companies as well, supply companies into farming. You might be surprised what you see. Those old conservative farmers in gumboots, they just might not be there.
We have received a number of suggestions, so I think that probably our team are going to be working for the next couple of months, looking at different ranges. For example, somebody actually contacted us and said, do you know what all the life insurance companies are like, what they're pushing? So, we've actually commissioned them to provide a report on that with the company breakdown. Look, to be honest, Don, if there's a listener who's knowledgeable in these areas of the farming companies and wants to do a little bit of research and reporting for us, then we're super keen to talk to them, and they can contact me.
Thank you.
Fabulous. The other thing I know, Bob, none of this is of course, you have your opinions about what you believe in your values, but everything, the information that's put up there is publicly available information, isn't it? That you picked up from their own documents, their own paperwork, websites.
Yeah, we haven't made up any information or made an opinion. We have literally just cut and pasted from their website, from their social media. Social media is an interesting one because what they tend to do is they hide some of these things amongst certain audiences. So it's not until you go to TikTok or Instagram that you see some of the more radical woke stuff because they're appealing to certain audiences. And it's on their social media websites and also in the media as well because they're listed as Rainbow Tick or they're involved with climate alarmism groups or they're pushing diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, that was deemed to be the cool thing to do, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But in fact, what the studies are showing is that it actually adds nothing to the value of companies in terms of turnover, etc. It's literally just virtue signaling. But it's taking a while for people just to wake up to that because it sounded very nice.
Well, it sounds really nice. In fact, when I was a director, I was a member of the Institute of Directors, and this stuff was constantly coming in their monthly news or bulletins that they'd send out. So it's a slow it it was slowly indoctrinating directors as well. That's my view. And I'm pleased to say I'm not part of it anymore. But it bothered me. And it bothered others who were in my circles who were also in the Institute, that the way this influence was coming at them and the way it was presented was it was vital we did this DEI stuff. It was vital. There was no second place in it. When in fact, you listen to people like Jordan Peterson and others, there is certainly a challenge to be issued. And it's great that you're doing it. So, we've got our supposed trustworthy institutions peddling their line at great cost to us, I would suggest.
Well, they're actually employing departments. I mean, you've got diversity, equity, and inclusion departments, and they've got to justify their existence and their pay. So therefore, they go looking for issues. And as I say, it is very conditional. I mean, I had a classic example a couple of years ago where a supporter was on my LinkedIn page, and I posted a story about Jacinda Ardern getting engaged, and I did a McBlog basically saying, "Hey, this is something good," because Jacinda and Clark had both said, "Oh, what did they say? They said we had a child, then we bought a house, now we're getting married. We sort of got things in the wrong order." And I said, "You know, that's a true statement. Marriage is important, and Jacinda's marriage, whatever you think of her, the fact that they're getting married actually sends a good message to society." So anyway, one of my supporters on LinkedIn liked it and just put a comment, "Oh, it's good to see that marriage is one man, one woman." Well, he got hauled before the HR department and basically got told off because he was posting radical stuff and it was bringing the company into disrepute. And why was he doing that? Now, he was allowed to take a colleague along to the meeting. So he asked me to go, and I just wanted to observe the process. So we sat in this meeting, and the boss was there, and I think he really didn't want to be there. And the lady from HR was there, basically saying, "You know, why do you post this stuff? It's controversial. Do it somewhere else. Just don't post that stuff on social media." Now, during the meeting, a bright light went off in my head, which is fairly rare, and I thought, "Gee, I wonder what she's posting." So I found her online, and there she was pushing the yes vote for cannabis legalization and pushing the Green Party. And so we brought this up, and it just killed the meeting. That was basically the end of it. And it's just an example that I share to people that sometimes you just have to push back a little and even up the playing field. And, you know, I think that's what Woke Up is doing. It's just saying, look, some people just want to purchase things. They don't want to be lectured on having an LGBT rainbow lapel or having a bank card that's in rainbow colors or being told that the planet's about to explode in fire, you know, that type of stuff. So, or told that they can use whatever toilet they want, depending on how they identify. And of course, you know, we exposed ACC as pushing that on their employees. So this isn't just consumers. This is actually on employees as well. Employees are getting very frustrated. You know, the classic example is the toilet use, but also the personal pronouns and introducing themselves with their personal pronouns. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is actually, I call it delusion or deception, inequality, and exclusion, because it's about preferential rights for certain groups. It's about encouraging, especially for young people, gender confusion, and it's about excluding anybody who doesn't bow down to it. And people who hold, generally, when you think about it, of the people that have been cancelled, 99.9% of them are social conservatives, because that does not align with the new cultural religion or viewpoint.
And that's where the problem lies. The line between a business lives, work lives, and the personal lives is so blurred as to its non-existent. What I do on my social media should have absolutely nothing to do with the sort of job I do when I'm working, you know? But we've decided those lines are so that doesn't matter. It's once you are in a company, they pretty much own the way you think. And I have a saying about the diversity inclusion thing that they want diversity of demographics, you know? One lady, one LGBTQ, one male, one black, one white, one pink, whatever it is, but they don't want any diversity of thought or opinion. They
No,
want,
40-40-20 is the goal. 40% male, 40% female, although you can identify as any of those, and then 20% whatever. And I'm never quite sure what that whatever is, but you know, it's this kind of enforced, rather than based on merit, it's about virtue signaling, but it's also about the whole critical theory, the checking your privilege at the door. So, Don, we're history because, you know, for anybody that's cis, white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied, We just tick all the wrong boxes. In fact, Don, you and I are responsible for, we're the oppressors, and we're responsible for everything that's wrong in the world.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we're fossils. We should be fossilized. Yeah. But guess what, Bob? Guess what, Bob? We're not going to be fossilized. We're going to be fighting the fight.
Yeah.
So on your website, Bob, on wokeup.nz, this new website, there is the woke summary has four main categories that you're looking at. You're looking at virtue signaling, the gender ideology, the diversity, equity, inclusion, and the climate change. So I was looking at a couple of companies, so Just Jeans. They pop up a couple of things. You know, they talk about sustainability, but it does not push a climate crisis narrative, does not publish emission targets. So for now, you've rated it not woke. But then I go on to Kathmandu. And boy, is that woke. As for the data there, they have a Rainbow Tick certification. They have partnered with Pride Pledge. They also sponsor Winter Pride. They have an ESG, an environmental, social, and governance factors overlooking officer. And of course, the climate crisis is all over it. And yet that's a brand that's, you know, possibly gets a lion's share of our outdoor market in the country. And
And I think people just haven't been aware, because I think the companies have been very clever just to market it privately and at target groups without sort of making it in your face, although some of them do. And it's not until you actually look a little bit behind to find out, you know, I mean, Woolworths obviously are major supporters. If you go into Woolworths Countdown, you find out, you know, major supporters of Inside Out, which is, of course, is a major red flag already. But then they're also giving special leave for, you know, changing your sex. That is a woke company, and they're obviously pushing it, and others are. I mean, I think you'll notice there's also a section on it where we've sort of got the latest news. So it's sort of the smaller companies that aren't the industries, but it's so if you click on news, and then you'll see some of the smaller players like North Face and Bonds using a bearded man modeling a bikini, and Rip Curl, you know, they sacked a woman surfer and replaced a woman surfer with a biological man who's transgender as the promo for woman surfing. You got Lego, you've got Doritos, Starbucks, and even Eventbrite, which is that ticketing company, which cancelled a conference last year that was basically talking about gender ideology and the importance of biological women and definition of women. And Eventbrite just cancelled it. And so I think, you know, just that knowledge gives the people to choose suppliers with knowledge of what's driving them and where their funds are possibly, what their funds are possibly supporting.
So Bob, I'm reading some of the stuff as we speak. And at the back of my mind has got ideology of a political kind, especially communism, Marxism, socialism.
Yeah.
I just don't see anything other than it emanating from something that really wants to control the West as well. So aside from all your good work on family, family first, this stuff is all about command, control, ideology, and the influences that it's peddling strike me as, once you get us into this sort of this net, you're captured. So do you think it is about trying to break out of the net and break free? Because it seems to me that's what we've got to do. We've got to break ourselves free from this stuff. And how long could that take? Because it does seem to me there's politics behind this. I know this is quite a tangent to where we've been speaking, but it's just an instant thought I've had as we're looking through your websites.
Yeah, I believe that the source of what they're doing is the way that they can destroy Western culture, which is what they want to do, and bring it to a level of Marxism is to... in fact, they talk about it in their theories. They talk about indoctrinating children, But it's also about breaking down the traditional family structure.
Yes.
So it's
Yes.
destroying, I mean, really, gay marriage wasn't actually the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was to destroy gender, because once you destroy definition of who we are as male and female, you destroy marriage. You also destroy the mother, father, brother, sister, children growing up as their biological definition. So, and Black Lives Matter. I mean, that was one of their key goals, was to destroy the traditional family. And look, we saw that just with our deregistration. The government, the Supreme Court said in its decision that we were promoting the traditional family and traditional marriage, and that had no public benefit. But in the same paragraph, they said that promotion of the environment, and that's not promoting farmers, Don, that's promoting climate alarmism, and promotion of human rights, which of course is woke diversity, equity and inclusion and minority groups, those are charitable purposes. They said that in the same statement. So those are the new cultural religions, worshipping the environment, worshipping human rights, and it's basically negating where we all come from, who created us and what we were created as. And when, if you destroy the nuclear family, then you will see the social breakdown. And look, the left actually understand that, because they talk about the problems of fatherlessness. They understand what happens when families break down, and that a lot of these children go to gangs because they just want whānau around them. And yet they can't connect the two dots and say, actually, our prisons are filling up, our child abuse rates are getting worse, our child poverty is getting worse. And we've linked that to the structure of the family, family breakdown, declining marriage rates, increased teen pregnancy rates. And they just won't connect the dots, because they don't want to acknowledge actually what works. And so, and then what happens is you get these world groups like the World Economic Forum, who see these opportunities to use money and governments to enforce their viewpoints down. Because where there's a moral vacuum, they will always look to fill it. And so I know we're going to touch on it, Jaspreet, at some stage, but that's what the ARC conference last year was all about. It was actually a counter voice to what the World Economic Forum was talking about. And ARC was saying that there's a better response that, in fact, let me just, do you want to go on to this now, Jasper?
Yeah. Let's talk about this. So when we met last year, Bob, you mentioned that towards late October, you'll be going for this ARC conference. Mm. That's Alliance for Responsible Citizenship.
Yeah.
And Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, was he a big force behind this one?
Yeah, he was on the organizing committee. There was a couple of them. I'm just trying to remember the politician's name. I'll think of it shortly. But the ARC was basically a gathering of 1,500 delegates. There were 72 countries involved, and we met in Greenwich in London. And it was basically the largest gathering of social conservatives and centre-right leaders. I mean, there was a number of ex-prime ministers of Australia there, John Howard, Scott Morrison, Tony Abbott, John Anderson, the ex-deputy prime minister who spoke at our conference last year. He was on the organising committee, and look, he wrote, this kind of sums up what it is: the West's confidence is at an all-time low, faith in our institutions, our values, and even democracy itself is shaken. Indeed, it's even worse than that, for we don't even seem to be sure of what our values are anymore. As the West loses faith in itself, we must offer values and hopes. And so that's really what the theme of the conference was. And if you go to bobmccoskrie.com and just type in ARC, A-R-C, you'll see there that I've put the top 10 presentations, which cover anything from climate policies with Bjorn Lomborg, who actually I think is coming to New Zealand soon. I must contact him.
You'd be very interested, yeah.
Yeah. Catherine Burblesinger, who you may not have heard of, but she's one of the strictest teachers in the world in the UK.
Now that you mention her. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, she's a classic. Jonathan Haidt, who has just released the book, The Anxious Generation, and is speaking at our conference via Zoom coming up next month. And Yeah, Miriam Cates on depression, Erica Commissar talking about children need a childhood and talking about the importance of parents being around and not just shoving them into childcare.
Yeah.
And a very funny speech was actually my favourite one. I don't know if you've heard of Konstantin Thissen.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Say his name.
Yeah.
And he did a speech, How Dare You, which, of course, was slightly mocking our friend Greta Thunberg. Yes. And he said, the strength or weakness of a society depends more on the level of its spiritual life than on its level of industrialization. So it was interesting.
Yeah, and that's what we need. We've got these globalist, as I call them, the UN, I say it stands for unappointed, unelected, unwanted, and unaccountable bodies somewhere far off dictating our very lives. I cannot seem to read any bit of center government or local government paperwork without reference to the Paris Accord, the UN climate change models, and so on and so forth. And these are the same people who also push the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda. In fact, the World Economic Forum was... Klaus Schwab was the very first proponents, in my mind, of the stakeholder capitalism theory, that you forget shareholders, everybody's a stakeholder. And then who do you answer to? And that's what these companies have done. The ones listed now on vocab.nz, they have taken that on, hook, line, and sinker. And now you have those like North Face that are offering customers a 20% discount if they complete a digital course in racial inclusion.
Yeah. I was just looking up. There's actually a study that came out that talked about the whole ESG failures. And
it almost seems like we are a bit behind the world. The backlash towards all of this, the ESG, the DEI agendas and others, Bob, have happened in the US and Europe and has been happening for a while. Meanwhile, New Zealand is like on course. We are not deterring from our path. There we are, still pushing it, despite the fact that we are now in as bad an economic mess that I can think of. Don, of course, knows the 1984s and the 1980s in farming, but in recent history, we've never been in such dire straits. And yet we have companies pushing this rather than shareholder value.
Well, what's happened and... Well, the classic example of what has happened is Reality Check Radio, that for too long we've been very compliant to a media that has pushed a certain messaging and narrative, and we haven't had that balance. And interestingly enough, it's that mainstream media that is slowly imploding, and it's people like Reality Check Radio who are actually enjoying incredible support and success, because finally they're starting to hear information that they were never allowed to hear or speak. And look, it's something we're doing at Family First as well. We're doing a number of shows on social media, which we're finding we're getting quite a lot of people watching. I mean, I've been even surprised at just the viewership on McBlog that I do, you know, two or three times a week, just the commentary. People are looking for that commentary as they turn away from mainstream media because of the plummeting trust levels and feeling that they're being told what to think. They're actually looking for alternatives, and they come across Reality Check Radio, and they come hopefully across some of the stuff that we're offering on Family First. So, you know, we're stoked. Parliament's loss of Simon O'Connor is our gain, because now he's with us and he's also doing a show with you guys. So
It's our gain as well.
So, you know, I think this is all going to be part of it.
And all of us have faced a backlash. I have faced in the media over time. Don has, you know, with his pharma politics. You have, of course, Family First lost its charitable status a while ago, didn't you? And then, I don't know, I've not recently seen you on mainstream media, Bob. Be a familiar face.
No, I was cancelled. I was, it probably started around 2013 when the same-sex marriage debate happened. The phone started to call a little then, and then it started to call even further around the abortion debate. And then when we won the cannabis referendum, it just went dead. And so then when the conversion therapy ban debate happened, even though we were the lead group opposing it, they did not come to us once. And so, yeah, they effectively... cancel culture began back in 2013 with us, but that's okay. Look, I say that cancel culture is a bit like puberty. You're dead scared of going through it, but once you get through it, it's flipping awesome.
couldn't agree more. Well, all part to you. We'll be looking at the website, wokeup.nz. Listeners, if you've found what you're interested in out here, or you've not found what you wanted here, please pop in an email on using the Contact Us page, and send Bob's team an email if you'd like to see something listed here, or maybe there's something listed that you do not agree with. I, for one, and Don, I'll speak on his behalf as well. We are very grateful for the work you do, Bob, both on this front as well as a mother on children's front. Thank you so much for joining Don and me this morning on Greenwash.
Good to be with you.
Thank you so much. We'll be back again another time.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.